even though I could physically heal from this, at least I thought I physically had healed from the trauma, reversed the early menopause, the PTSD was still under the surface. And what I now know is that women who have had trauma, adverse childhood experiences, either everyday stress or post-traumatic stress, during this period of the perimenopause are vulnerable for additional symptoms, neurologic symptoms, endocrine symptoms, so hormonal balance, mood issues. And this PTSD for me was just under the surface all the time, which led me to burnout, essentially. And even though I thought I had all the hormonally, I had all the pieces of the puzzle together. So this is where I say it takes more than hormones to fix our hormones.
This is the Entrepology Podcast. The podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, a body, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. My guest today is someone truly incredible in the health and functional medicine world. Dr. Anna Kabeca is the author of The Hormone Fix. She is a triple board certified obstetrician and gynecologist, and she is just an all-round awesome woman. On the podcast today, she's going to share with us her own personal journey and story that really shifted for her the mindset and acknowledgement that lifestyle has to play, not only in terms of our health, but actually healing our bodies at a very deep level. We're going to get into the nuances of how we actually enable women to breeze through perimenopause, menopause, so that we can truly harness this incredibly powerful phase of life. Preparing for these hormonal transitions and managing hormonal transitions, even for those of us who are not in that phase of life yet, it's really important that we understand some of the foundational pieces that really enable our body to balance hormones on their own. We unpack those pieces. I know you are going to love her. It is truly my honor to introduce you to my friend, Dr. Anna Kabeca. Dr. Anna Kabeca, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Great to be here with you, Megan. Thanks for having me.
Well, we have to just jump in right away today because we were chatting before we started to record. And really quickly, I was like, oh my gosh, we are doing like all of these, we're just dropping gold here with respect to addressing women and entrepreneurship and hormonal balance and why we really are poised to take over the world. So before we get back into all of those things that I so desperately want to share with our listeners, can you give us some background in terms of who you are and how we got to where we are today, where really you are a leading expert in the world at helping women transition through the various hormonal phases of their life?
Yeah, well, you know, just a quick note is that I got here because my own traumatic story, right? It's our mess becomes our message type of situation in so many ways. To be serious about it, Megan, it's been a journey, you know, a life's journey, loving, helping, and supporting women and women's health. And from, you know, watching my mom suffer with cardiovascular disease when she was 52 and I was 16, and thinking there is just recommendations that are being made for her that are based on studies made for men. So at an early age, I became really passionate about solving women's health issues and standing up for women in this arena. And that led me naturally to be a gynecologist and obstetrician, a woman's health physician through the lifetime, right? So it's such a blessing. I mean, from teenage girls through, you know, geriatrics, through, you know, our entire lifespan, I was able to care for generations of women. And as an expert, Emory University trained, right, one of the best institutions in our nation for training in gynecology and obstetrics, I started my own practice, Southeast Georgia, and post-traumatic event led me into early menopause at age 39. And so this is where I was, you know, a hormone expert. And I'd been even studying bioidentical hormones at that time for nearly a decade. And I had nothing in my doctor's bag to help me. I was told I was in early menopause and with premature ovarian failure, premature ovarian insufficiency. I was told I would never be able to have another child again. And this was devastation upon devastation, because part of our story is that we lost our son in a traumatic accident and in 2006, and he was only 18 months old, and I was still breastfeeding him. And that threw us and certainly my body, mind, soul, and spirit into trauma, grief, and as you can imagine. And so that also, one thing that just struck me was that the amazing, as I can go back and intellectualize now, but the amazing physical changes that were occurring too, from breastfeeding one moment to never having another drop of breast milk. And for any woman listening who's breastfed, you know that if you miss a feeding for 10 minutes, your breasts are engorged. And so those changes, just left me wondering and in awe at how physiology can change so quickly. But when you're given a diagnosis of menopause or ovarian failure, infertility, you don't think there's a way to solve it, right? We're given, this is your diagnosis. That's it. It's like a sentence, a death sentence for me at that time and for my family. So I went on a healing journey. I actually turned my medical practice over to a physician colleague, and we traveled around the world for a year, and just serendipitously, honestly, meeting healers from all different specialties, from Native American shaman to Andean philosopher to some of the world's top scientists in New Zealand, Israel, and Europe. And so I met and I learned, and lo and behold, reversed my menopause, reversed my infertility, and at age 41, delivered a healthy baby girl. And so that, the child I was told I would never be able to have. So that just opened my mind and my medical practice to a world of opportunity. And where there weren't solutions for me, I created solutions for others. It started with my product, Mighty Maca Plus, which is a combination of superfoods, including maca, that I believe really helped me and now helps so many others, right? To balance adrenals, to help with the stress factor. But what I learned, Megan, is that even though I could physically heal from this, at least I thought I physically had healed from the trauma, reversed the early menopause, the PTSD was still under the surface. And what I now know is that women who have had trauma, adverse childhood experiences, either everyday stress or post-traumatic stress, during this period of the perimenopause are vulnerable for additional symptoms, neurologic symptoms, endocrine symptoms, so hormonal balance, mood issues. And this PTSD for me was just under the surface all the time, which led me to burnout, essentially. And even though I had all the pieces of the puzzle together. So this is where I say it takes more than hormones to fix our hormones, right? It absolutely takes more than hormones to fix our hormones. And we have our minor hormones, which sadly are our reproductive hormones. And then we have the major hormones, which are cortisol, insulin, and oxytocin. Through this time, I shared with you before we started, come 2014, 2015, I'd stopped my medical practice to devote time now as a single mom post-divorce to take care of my kids, was in near bankruptcy, making some pretty poor decision making. And I shared when I was on stage, before you spoke at Futures of Health, I shared, remember that time I was engaged? I was making some poor decision making. And so that can include our relationships, right? And my children, post-divorce, one in elementary, one in middle, and one in high school, our relationships were really struggling. All girls, mama, daughter, battles certainly going on, but there was more to it. There's a physiology to that. And I was, as I was in this state, the brain fog, the memory loss, the agitation, if that wasn't enough, I hit 48 and 5, 10, 20 pounds crept up again, despite not doing anything different. I heard that from so many patients, and early on in my medical career, I'd be like, really? You're not doing anything different? Surely you're doing something different, right? Like an extra candy bar, not exercising as much, more sedentary. legit, I was not doing anything different. And so, and I had been over 240 pounds at one time, lost 80, 90 pounds and kept it off for nearly a decade. Then these pounds started creeping back up. With that, I thought, oh my gosh, when will this weight gain stop, right? Because if you've been heavy and lost the weight and then all of a sudden you start gaining the weight again, you're like, oh my God, when will it ever stop? So I had that fear. And that took me into embracing the ketogenic lifestyle. But then, you know, I would get keto crazy is what I call it, and I go into detail in the book. So hence the keto green is my solution to that. The alkalinizers, which include, you know, nutrients, high quality, micronutrient rich, alkalizing vegetables like greens, chard, cauliflower, collards, beet greens, all of those things are really, sprouts are all very, very alkalinizing and low carbohydrate. So incorporating that into my diet, as well as lifestyle factors that improve our physiology, stress management, and those issues. And so that became my keto green approach. But not only that, so going from that stage near bankruptcy, getting clear, shifting to use ketones for fuel over glucose for my brain, because as we enter this transition stage of menopause, we become less able to use glucose for fuel in the brain because it's an estrogen dependent process. So switching to ketones, at least periodically, really powers up our brain. And so that helped me with clarity. That helped me experience the peace, like biblically it says, the peace that surpasses all understanding. It helped me experience that in a time of turmoil in my life. And I always say to be the ocean, not the waves or the eye of the storm, right? To have that peace, calm center, that healthy foundation where you can respond instead of react. And so that combination of getting keto alkaline or keto green helped me get into that state and thereby make some really good decisions, you know, shift from a state of near bankruptcy to creating products and programs that help me and then helped others, so the entrepreneurial side of things, and shift me from that point to a seven-figure business. And in addition, the best part of it, yes, I lost the weight, kept it off, the mental clarity and the sense of peace and ability to manage my emotions or to actually feel more at peace on a regular basis, manifesting the healthiest relationships of my life now with my daughter, with my employees, with, you know, my friends and special relationships in my life. So manifesting the healthiest relationships in my life. And one of my clients who I taught this approach to, she said, you know, not only do I like my family better, but they like me better too. And I completely get that.
I love this. I really do love and appreciate this story, Anna, because I think sometimes when people have gone through trauma and been able to come out the other side and then, you know, evangelize and create product around it, it's like, okay, great. Well, that maybe worked for you. But what I really love about this approach is that not only did you go, okay, here was my journey and here's what worked for me. You layered that with, oh, and I happened to have already been an expert in obstetrics and gynecology and women's health and women's hormones. So we layered a whole new level of medical experience on it and credibility and scientific validity to it. And I think it's sort of the trifecta of the coming together of those experiences that make your solution and your system so compelling. Because at first glance, I know with keto, everyone hears this word, and I really want to unpack your keto green system, because I feel as though people go, they hear keto and they hear menopause and they hear, oh, some weight stuff. Everyone's going to hear their particular pain points. And then they're just going to go Google a ketogenic diet and be like, that didn't work. Just like everything else I tried didn't work. And I have found in my clinical experience, and you just alluded to this, so we're going to unpack it, is that it's not about just trying a bunch of things. It's often the sequence in which you start to put these things into play where the magic happens physiologically. I want to get into the keto side of it. And I'll mention to everybody too, we're actually going to teach a masterclass on this in September. So if you're like, this is intriguing, I want to know more, we're going to lay it out for you a little bit more in depth in September. But can we back up and go, okay, foundationally, what are the key foundational pieces that women need to have in place, not just in menopause, but frankly, from a hormone balancing perspective as they are moving through life? And then let's layer some of the keto principles that you talked about on top of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it all starts with a good foundation. And so when I build out my programs, it's more than what we eat. But I also want to emphasize, put emphasis on the fact that I was a hormone expert, right? Mm-hmm. And I was still struggling. So, and if I was struggling, how many other people are struggling thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my body? And it's, you know, there's a physiological component to it. And then when we gain control of that, it everything falls into place. It really, really does. And I emphasize that because, you know, physiology drives our behavior. So when we're especially in this transition, this empowering transition process of perimenopause and menopause, especially when we're in this transition, that we can powerfully use behaviors to control our physiology and empower physiology to improve our behaviors. So they're combined.
Can I just ask one question before we jump into it? Because, and I mean this with total respect for what Western medicine has to offer, because they have good things to offer, but where are they missing the boat on this hormone piece? Because, I feel as though there has been no further sophistication in thinking other than, you know, your premenopausal will just stick you on the pill and your postmenopausal will put you on hormone replacement therapy. And this whole endocrine thing, it's really not that complicated. So why are we still missing the boat in that in the traditional system?
I really believe it's a function of industry, honestly, Megan, because it's the patentable approach to things is one drug, one action, right? And we can't patent natural compounds unless we're patenting delivery or composition or process and things like that, right? And I think that's a problem. I also believe that while the intention may be good, Of course it's good for physicians going into medical practice, sacrificing their most, vital years of our life to this higher level of learning and to serve others. I mean, we want to help people, right? But the tools we're given often only serve as band-aids or reactionary. And the other part is it's a dual approach, right? Because as individuals, we need to be empowered to take care of our own health. We need to be empowered versus relying on the powerful system and the insurance system. You know, this is what's recommended. I pay this insurance. This is what it provides. And I think it's a dual problem. It's a problem with the insurance companies. It's a problem with ideas that, you know, someone else is responsible for your health. We ultimately are responsible for your health. And that's when I talk about this in my book, The Hormone Fix, because we have to take that responsibility. And I say, don't give me the control over your health. Don't even give it to me. And I'm pretty awesome. No.
You so are.
Don't even give it to me. You take the control of your own health because you have to discern what's working for you and what's not. And I believe this is it's a bigger problem, a bigger generational problem. For example, I'll give you this example. I had a client come in her early 40s, late 30s, I think she was 39 years old. And she goes, you know, every one of my relatives in my family have a hysterectomy by age 40. It's just genetic. So that concept that it's genetic, oh my goodness, right? Like how did that get into her mind? It's not genetic. It's not genetic. That's environmental for the most part, right? It is environmental, not genetic. I say, well, if we can improve your body, you know, if your hormones, we can stabilize your hormones, decrease inflammation, improve blood sugar control. I mean, some basics, those I consider that foundational, then you won't need the hysterectomy. She goes, well, I just want the hysterectomy so that, you know, my insurance will cover it, right? And that's a problem because now we know, I mean, there's a whole communication system related to our uterus, our ovaries, our nervous system. It's beyond this uterus, which is the victim of many problems. It really is the victim of many problems.
We are incentivized financially to stay sick on like every level. Like as I'm listening to this, my skin is just crawling with angst, because for women to think, well, that's the solution that's covered. And I've had similar conversations. This is expensive, but you know, our provincial health plan will cover whatever massive intervention I'm looking at. Like, it is a failure of the system that we don't make health easier for people. So if step one is take control of your health and take responsibility for your health, what are some of the other foundational pieces that you have found to be so critical? And I'm assuming these all work synergistically. It's not like you can pick and choose. You got to have these things in check.
Yeah, absolutely. And in one of the programs I teach online, my Magic Menopause program, you know, I go through, I said, it's not just about what we eat. It's about 25% of what we eat, 75% of these greater things. So number two is to recognize that there's a lifestyle component. And in order to be well, we have to think well, move well, sleep well, right? Eat well, and relate well to be well. So there's a combination of things in addition to eat well. There's a multifactorial effect. And so for me and starting my clients, you know, one of the things that I would have clients do is they come into the office with a myriad of symptoms, right? Anxiety, PMS, you know, the symptom of hating your husband, but it's only two weeks out of the month. It's typically your hormones and not your husband, right? Not to mention the irregular cycles. So when a client would come to my office, the second step would be to detox them. Is, you know, I take an inventory questionnaire, just like the ones in my book, and start a 21-day detox. And now I call it my keto green detox. So it would be eliminating the inflammatory foods, making foods, you know, encouraging foods that are alkalinizing, low carbohydrate and alkalinizing, and really it more about less of what we're doing and staying true to the whole foods. So basically, that if you can pick it, peel it, fish it, hunt it, milk it, grow it, then for the most part you can eat it, you know, staying with real food. And so I would have them do that when I draw the blood work. Send them home. Maybe I'm adding on some of my Mighty Maca Plus additional detoxification support to help their body remove toxins during this time period. And when clients would come back, they would say, I'm already 90% better, 90% better. And then I would tweak with maybe some bioidentical progesterone, especially over age 40, as we enter this neuroendocrine vulnerability. And I want to fine tune, I want to tank up the progesterone because it's neuroprotective and it's a precursor to our sex hormones. So sometimes adding a little transdermal progesterone here can be beneficial if we need to. And so just with those two interventions, detoxification, getting rid of, you know, getting rid of sugar, inflammatory foods, processed foods, artificial flavorings, sweeteners, preservatives, all of those things can make a big difference. And in my Keto Green way, it's like I said, not just about what we eat, but when we eat is a part of that too. So extending, the third step would be extending intermittent fasting from 13 to 16 hours between dinner and breakfast. So we want to keep our body, give our body time to get nice low levels of glucose, really good fasting levels of glucose, and become more insulin sensitive and work to get our body into ketosis, to start using reserved fat for fuel versus in the keto lifestyle, it's often we're using the fat in our diet. We want to tap into our own fat reserves for the most part. Most of us have a few extra, you know, to get rid of. I have some well stored. So tapping into our fat for fuel to use that for to get ketones, because glucose is a fuel source, but glucose is to gasoline as ketones are to jet fuel. And in this transition time period, getting that jet fuel on board, whew, that makes life a lot better.
This is the thing I love about this is I think there's a whole cohort of women that have dismissed the idea of intermittent fasting and keto because they've pre-qualified themselves for something else. They went, oh, that's, you know, that's for younger women. That is for athletes. That is for, well, I'm probably not the candidate for that. And I love what you're saying is that, you know, women as they're going through this phase of life are actually prime candidates for what the ketogenic diet has to offer in your unique take on it. And I love that piece. What are some of the tenets of the Keto Green way in terms of how women can expect to experience their diet if they're doing this? You mentioned the intermittent fasting, but what are some of the other elements?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you touched on the key difference between the process, even the order of the way we do things, how that can make a really big difference. So for me, the Keto Green Way starts with getting alkaline first. And I have clients check their urine pH. And I tell you why. It is another vital sign. Just like the weight on our scale or blood pressure or pulse or temperature is another our vital signs, the urine pH is a vital sign. It tells us how well are we doing. Because it tells us more than about how are we getting enough healthy nutrients. I mean, I've had vegan vegetarians acidic with their urine pH, and they're like, why am I? Well, how's your stress level? Are you in a toxic environment or toxic relationship? Cortisol, increases in cortisol, PTSD can increase, I mean, absolutely decreases our urine pH, makes it more acidic. So increases our acidity. And that's a key realization, because then we're robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? We're going to take nutrients from our bones, muscle, nervous system, right, to use these nutrients for maintaining our blood pH, which has to be maintained very, very specifically. And we don't measure blood pH because it's pretty well maintained. Unless we're severely ill, is that going to fluctuate significantly? But our urine pH is a barometer. It is measuring, okay, how are we doing today? And I first recognized this when I was going into ketosis and I was having those keto crazy symptoms. I would check my urine pH. I'm like, I'm acidic, acidic, acidic. Well, in functional medicine, I call it functional gynecology, that alkaline urine pH really helps with, you know, gives us the power of healthy detoxification, helps with hormone balance, and just recognize that, you know, it feels better when we have an alkaline urine pH. And so certainly the diet helps, but the mornings I would walk on the beach, you know, barefoot, walk on the beach, I would be alkaline all day. I would be alkaline all day. And I was like, huh, doing the same things, eating the same things, but the walk on the beach, now I know, drove down my cortisol level. So I had a healthier physiology to start the day with versus the mornings I woke up, maybe had a keto coffee and was stressed because I had to run three kids to three different schools, right? So
I know that
acidic
well.
All day. Yes. Acidic all day. So, you know, utilizing that made a difference. And another, so first thing is get alkaline urine pH, is really work on the alkalinizers in your food choices, low carbohydrate alkalinizers. So those greens and sprouts and healthy food choices, as well as the lifestyle, meditation, yoga, what gives you pleasure, go walking on a walk on a beach, having laughter with a friend, you know, having sex with your partner. Those things are alkalinizing activities. Oxytocin is a powerful alkalinizer. So that hormone of love, bonding, and connection. So that would be the first thing, is get an alkaline pH. And then the second is work on intermittent fasting and dropping down those carbs to get keto. So healthy fats, we need fats for fuel and fats to decrease our appetite and decrease our cravings. So avocado, olive oil, you know, Mediterranean style food choices, if you think of it that way, avocado, salmon, you know, healthy meat from grass-fed cows and nuts and seeds and really micronutrient-dense nutrients. And once we add in these healthy fats and good quality protein, our body's not having those cravings. And if we keep carbohydrates nice and low, we're not going to have those hypoglycemic effects that people say, well, I can't get into ketosis because I get hypoglycemia. 100% have kicked that in 100% of my patients that had that complaint. So because our blood sugar is not dipping way back down after a carbohydrate meal, we're not going to get hypoglycemia. We create glycemic stability, which I've monitored with 24-hour blood sugar monitors. And so that's a huge thing. So start with getting an alkaline urine pH, adding in the alkalinizers, get alkaline first. Second, intermittent fasting, work on getting into ketosis through healthy choices. And that intermittent fasting and stopping snacking is critical for women. We are more designed in the menopause and postmenopause to live this keto green way. We really are. The healthy centenarians, the healthy 80-year-olds, 90-year-olds that I know had limited their own eating styles to a very similar way. You know, small meal at dinner, hence the senior specials.
Totally.
Have you ever seen that? Yeah. Small early dinner, eat before 7 p.m. You know, just in that intuitively created a healthier physiology, right? So these lifestyle characteristics that have been developed over time on an individual level or over centuries on a cultural level to increase the longevity of a society, a healthy longevity, right? Living in a nursing home the last 20 years of our life is not a healthy longevity. And that's all of this, you know, mental and neurologic degeneration from, honestly, you know, poor fuel choice, right? We're using glucose instead of ketones. We switch that and we optimize that. And then a key point that I want to mention is, and I alluded to it, like the alkalizing behaviors, is I start each morning with appreciation, prayer, and meditation. And that changes my outlook for the day. I have a better day when I do that consistently. I have a better day when I do that consistently, and so do my patients. Creating a morning ritual sets us up for success. And I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, I would agree with you so wholeheartedly. What is I love a lot of women who come in and they say, listen, like, this diet sounds great, but I derive too much joy from food. And so then what we do is we turn it around and we do an inventory of where else they're deriving joy from in their life. And what we realize is the need for, in many cases, carbohydrates to be a consistent source of joy for people. It's usually a symptom of the fact that we need to reconnect you with other sources of joy and purpose and pleasure in your life. So I feel like food, there's so many things that we think we can't overcome, but if we view them as symptoms and a possibility of going more root cause, I think there's some real opportunities for people's health there. Cause I can hear people driving, listening to us right now. And they're like, I know, but I just love my croissant so much. I couldn't possibly do this. What do you tell those women?
Well, you know, I'm totally with them 100%. You know, I get it. I love food. We're a gluttonous family at heart, you know? I mean, yeah. It is a joy of mine. But the Keto Green Way allows for that. The Keto Green Way, you're eating really good choices. You're no longer craving that croissant, but when you want it, enjoy it. So you can have feast days. And I was interviewed, Megan, regarding Kourtney Kardashian's cheat days, right? And the people, it was people.com. So People Magazine interviewed me and they're like, well, what do you think about these cheat days that Kourtney has? I'm like, in her ketogenic regimen. I said, well, first of all, she's not ketogenic when she's having a cheat day, and I prefer to consider it a feast day, and she's having that waffle one day a week or whatever, you know, and then hopping back into ketosis. I said, that's absolutely fine. That keeps her from having deprivation fatigue, you know, or restriction fatigue. That keeps her from feeling deprived and having restriction fatigue. And I think that's really important. So if I have a client who says, well, I can't give up my cup of coffee or I can't give up my croissant, what I want to tell them is, well, you know, What will keep you inspired? Will that Sunday croissant work for you? Will that Sunday cup of coffee work for you? I mean, because some coffee raises our blood glucose, I noted for myself, which was so disappointing to see, that one of the reasons I get kicked out of ketosis is because I have a cup of coffee. Even if it's a keto coffee in the morning, my blood sugar will go up 20 points. So caffeine revs up my cortisol, revs up my glucose, right? So that kicks me out or makes me struggle throughout, really is defeating. So when I cut out caffeine, cut out that morning coffee, it's a better control, better energy, better vitality throughout the day. And that's an important thing. So we look, okay, is this addiction, is this craving serving us? Is it leading us towards health or is it leading us towards disease? Is it making us go closer to our goals or leading us further away? And just that level of discernment, just kind of like turning, like, which direction is my needle going with this decision? That awareness is powerful reinforcement. And then saying, okay, well, have it, you know, let's do that once a week, or maybe it's twice or three times a week to start. And let's, you know, eventually you'll get down probably most likely to once a week, or there'll be occasions where you have feast and holidays and all these things. That's living life. So I don't want people to feel deprived. I want them to feel empowered.
Great. I will fully admit I had an incredible feast evening on Wednesday with a bunch of girlfriends after clinic. And I didn't feel remotely guilty about it. I was like, and listen, had you seen this table, you would have been like, oh yeah, that is feast extraordinaire. But it was really fun. And I agree with you, when you have strategic moderation in other areas of your life and you're clear on what the goal is and you feel amazing with it. Like, here's the thing is I agree with you completely. You don't feel like you're suffering when you're alkaline and your blood sugar is balanced and you're focusing on gratitude. You really feel amazing. And then being able to have these feast moments, I love that language. It's icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it isn't. None of this is moving into a place of suffering. And I think sometimes people worry about that, right? They're like, oh, it's gonna be so hard and it's gonna feel awful and it's just like a diet. It's not. It's like this incredible lifestyle, and you're on such a high when you execute on it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have those feast days guiltlessly and shamelessly, right? Guiltlessly and shamelessly, and consider it a feast. And I know from, you know, having eating disorder early in life, binge eating, like, you know, that's a concern for people. I don't want to be binging, right? And that's important to recognize too. So, you know, having, like, setting yourself up for success, hydrating well, maybe doing a keto green protein shake before you go into your feast, you're going to have better control. You're not going to go in, I'm starving all day and then I'm going to binge, right? So you also set yourself up for success over any concerns as well.
Yeah, such great advice. And I just want to let everyone know, I mentioned this earlier, but we are going to be doing a masterclass related to these concepts on September 13th. And I will reiterate this and it will be in the show notes. But if you go to anthropologylabs.com/hormonefix, we're going to have Dr. Kabeca on live at 1 p.m. on September 13th. And we're going to unpack this and we're going to take questions from all of you because I really believe this is such an important concept and lifestyle opportunity for all women, really, in terms of being able to balance out their hormones and setting yourself up for, like, maximized contribution to this world. I am so grateful for you, Anna. And I feel like we could just keep going on this, but I want to make a transition in the interview. I want to, we have a series of rapid fire questions. We call these KPIs. So key performance indicators, just like we have them in our business. I believe we also have them in how we live our own lives. So indulge me. I've got a few things coming your way.
All right, I'm game.
Okay. First question, who is inspiring you right now?
Man, you know, I would have to say JJ Virgin, our mutual friend, right? Because she stays true and authentic to her mission, her goal, and a quality of life that serves her and serves community. She's the rising tide that floats all boats. And she is inspiring me. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. She really, she walks the talk and she leads by example. Great choice. What are you reading right now?
I am reading The Tattooist of Auschwitz.
I keep saying that.
That was referred to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, powerful, powerful, powerful.
What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
I am most consistent with alkalinizers, with getting greens in my system. Like, that's a component. I'm like, you know, my plate every day, you know, every meal has to have something that's alkalinizing, balancing on it as a regular, because I know how damaging stress, cortisol, and trauma is to my physiology, and I have to constantly counteract it. And then it does create a fullness, I'll call it a higher connection with nature as I do that.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Oh, man, I am a boxer.
Oh, yeah, you are. I love that.
I am. It's one of the best workouts. I started doing it in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia, gosh, in 2007. And it was a meditation for me. It's the only activity, like, just hitting the mitts with another person, not necessarily being hit, but hitting mitts, or mitt work, it's called, or bag work, is the time that my, you know, brain empties, and it became a meditation. So, and it makes great shoulders for those off the shoulder blouses we love.
It's brilliant. Multifaceted. What do you do for fun or play?
For fun and play, really, it's cooking in the kitchen with my kids. I love that. I absolutely love that. And then travel whenever we can. So there, but that cooking in the kitchen, we'll pour a glass of wine, we'll eat. Okay. So my 11-year-old does not get wine typically.
To be clear.
But my older girls do, and we'll talk, cook, chop, or, you know, and just laugh and enjoy that and make a beautiful, loving creation. So when we have the opportunity, we're all together to do that. that just lights me up.
Sounds so lovely. And last question for you, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
We are born with a tremendous imagination. The ability to imagine is a natural for entrepreneurship. So I believe that each of us has it in us.
Fantastic. It's my favorite question to ask. Dr. Anna Kabeca, author of The Hormone Fix. It's such a pleasure having you here today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. I love the work of Dr. Kabeca, and so we want to actually bring it to you in a more in-depth manner. On September 13th, we are going to be hosting a masterclass, a live Q&A with Dr. Kabeca, and we are going to storyboard that entire masterclass based on questions that we get from all of you. So if you want to register and be part of that live conversation, if you want to be able to ask Dr. Kabeca questions yourself, you need to register for that event, and you can do that by heading over to anthropologylabs.com/hormone fix. We've linked this up in the show notes. We're going to share it on social. You can find all these things if you're following me on Instagram. We have so much knowledge to drop on that masterclass. And if you can't make it, if you can't make it in the middle of the day, but you want access to the replay, you still have to register. So you're going to head over to anthropologylabs.com/hormone fix. And if you love today's episode as much as I did, we would love to hear from you over in iTunes. Share a review, share a story about how the Anthropology podcast is changing your perspective on health, business, and mindset. And we will see you here again next week.